All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. It is September 14th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope everyone's doing well. I am doing fantastic. I was supposed to do a podcast this morning with somebody that didn't show up. So I'm going to sit down and maybe share some thoughts or debrief my brain, whatever it is you want to call it. This last week, going through a situation sort of like that I went through this week has been, it's a real reminder of why I am sober today. You know, sobriety, obviously, I think when most people think about sobriety, it's that immediate moment where we just give up whatever it is we're doing. You know, usually it's a conversation. It's probably at an extreme moment or extreme point in our life where, you know, the topic of getting sober comes up. And so what it usually means is, oh, my God, I have to give up basically the thing that I love the most, which is drinking alcohol, right? Drinking beer, drinking vodka. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and this is a lady that's mentioned. She's like, why don't you just go to bars and just drink seltzers? And I'm like, you know, nobody wants that. I don't want that. I don't want to hang out in bars. I got sober, so I didn't have to hang out in bars. But nobody wants to hang out in bars if you're not drinking. And people drinking don't want people that aren't drinking hanging out in bars either. Like a litmus test sitting right next to you, telling you how bad you are, you know, staring right back at you. Nobody wants that. And but she was asking me, how many calories are in a Michelob Ultra? And I'm like, I have no idea. First of all, when I was drinking, Michelob Ultra didn't exist. I think that's a Lance Armstrong thing. You know, get fit. You know, because it's funny, most people, you know, if you're struggling with, you know, being out of shape or putting on extra weight, a lot of the times it's from drinking. And you'll see, you know, people create these crazy diets. You know, the first part of the diet is how much can I drink, right? You replace food with, you know, drinking or points. Some people would rather drink their points than eat them. Whatever, it's a nightmare. But she's like, how many calories are in a Michelob Ultra? And I go, I have no idea. I did not drink. When I drank, I did not care about calories. But that's kind of, you know, this constant trying to, you know, avoid all of the negative side of drinking. You know, we come up with all these different ideas, low-calorie beers, light beers. But I was telling her, I go, you know, if you want something I think that's low in calories, I think that would be tequila. You know, I know some people that are, you know, like working out and they're sort of in that keto diet, keto mode, and apparently tequila is low in calories, I guess, low in sugar. So if you're out there and you're looking to, you know, trim some pounds and still drink, I think tequila is good. I'm like, can you drink tequila? I mean, when I drank tequila, it was a shot and a lime and some salt. I think, you know, you lick the salt, do the shot, chew the lime. So that was my relationship with tequila. I don't know if you can sip tequila on ice. I don't know how that works. I said, yeah, I think tequila. And she goes, oh, margaritas are very high in calories. I go, yeah, margarita is, but I'm talking about just drinking straight tequila. I think that's diet safe, which is really funny, honestly, because, you know, getting fat was the least of my problems. Getting a fat lip was a bigger problem. But, you know, this constant, you know, figuring out ways to be able to do what you like to do and still enjoy the look and life that you have. And it's tough. But, you know, that's usually what people think of as getting sober, just putting down the drink. And it is. Sobriety is, and I've said this, the definition I've read, didn't write it. I've read the definition, and I think it says to be free of drink. So, yes, sobriety is to be free of drink. And believe me, that was about 80% of my problem. Just the behavior, While I was drinking, the irresponsibility of while I was drinking, drinking and driving. I've said before, I was a drunk driver. Not happy, not a good place, not proud of that. But I have to say it. That's what I was. I was a drunk driver. If I could sit on the couch and watch SportsCenter and drink vodka and not move, I may still be drinking. But I don't. I head out and I open my mouth and I talk to people and I drive my car, and all of these things end up getting me in trouble, which is a shame. Or actually, I'm glad, because I'm glad I don't drink. But peeling back the layers of what really sobriety is for me today, you know, it's these, you know, it's like a 10th step. You know, I shared that I went to a meeting the other day. It was on the 9th step. And, you know, what I shared as far as that 9th step goes, and when I did the 9th step, you know, with my sponsor, was really just a willingness, right? You know, there's a willingness to eventually finally put down the drink, right? There's like layers of willingness. You know, if I am willing to put down this drink. And most of us are willing to be okay with that, because really, I don't even think most people realize what the layers are of really humans, but alcoholism. You know, it's a self-centered disease. It's about being only caring about yourself, really, not caring about others. The surface, the big picture looks like, yeah, just a person that drinks too much, but it's layers. And, you know, you finally give up that first layer of finally putting down the drink, but then there's more to come. And the more to come part, I think, is what solidifies us into trying to stay sober, solidifies me into, for me, trying to stay sober. You know, ways to handle situations that come up in our lives. First of all, going through down a path that sort of lets us identify things, you know, that... The fourth step, which is, I think I know it, but I want to read it because I'm not going to read the step, but I just want to make sure I read the step correctly because I don't want to make any mistakes. But it says, making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. It doesn't say making a searching and fearless inventory of ourselves. It says made a searching and fearless moral inventory. And the moral part is where it gets kind of crazy, right? And a lot of people, I think a lot of people that come into the program aren't really interested in a moral inventory, especially a fearless one, right? That sounds dark and deep. Not everybody's excited about the idea of doing that. And, but unfortunately, until we start to do these kind of things, things start coming up in our life, and sometimes when it happens, it makes a person feel like maybe drinking is still an option. Like, God damn it, this is what I've come to. Why not drink anyway, right? And I've been there, but I was also at a place in my life where I really didn't want to get sober, so I'm not sure what the problem was. I'm sure it was always me, but, you know, I've been in that place. But, you know, you start looking at some of this stuff. So the point of the whole story is that, you know, you go through a week sort of like I've gone this week, and, you know, I'm just super grateful that, I guess in the gist of it, that I didn't have to drink over it.
Will you hold the line when every one of them is giving up and giving in? Tell me, in this house of mine, nothing ever comes without a consequence or cost. Tell me, will the stars align? Will heaven step in? Will it save us from our sin? Will it? Cause this house of mine stands strong. That's the price you pay. Leave behind your heart.
Yep, a natural. But so, you know, I just thought it would be interesting to share about just how the emotional roller coaster that I have been on in the last few days and how honestly, as long, I mean, I've been sober a long time. I feel like I've really worked a program. I've been doing the best that I can, you know, and how quickly some of these old feelings come flying back, right? And how quickly I became a victim, right? Especially when I was, I played a big part in the in getting me to this place, and then I wanted to become a victim of it. And, you know, this is a typical in my life as a person that's sober, that's trying to work a program. Different things come up in my life and how quickly I will turn and attack or at least want to. And I think that that is progress, because if something like this would have happened to me, well, nothing like this would have happened to me prior to getting sober because I had no life. I've always been very grateful that I didn't live in a time of the internet and Facebook and drinking, because for a self-centered asshole like myself, that would have been a great opportunity to slay some people. And so check that box off. Super grateful that I am not living in that place, right? Or, you know, saying things and then waking up the next morning and not remember any of it. That is, that's some shame. That's some dark place. That's a dark place in my heart that I don't want to go again. And, but the fact is that, you know, these feelings are right there. You know, I've been working and they're still there. And when this all happened, you know, the first thing, I think the first thing that happened when this all started to kind of happen, and when I say started to happen, is when, you know, someone started complaining about a podcast that I did, which, you know, I appreciate. I, you know, I think anybody that has an issue, if they want to say something, they're more than welcome to. I'm not a, I try to keep it pretty vanilla. I was sort of shocked. I was sort of shocked at myself, and I was sort of shocked that there was a complaint. But whatever. When the complaint happened, the first thing that I wanted to do, and I feel like this is a little bit of old behavior, but I also feel like this is, you know, some new program kind of stuff, trying to take a high road, trying to be humble, not to be a victim of my own stupidity. So early, you know, when this started to happen, you know, I was very apologetic. I wanted to, you know, reach out, especially to the one person that complained, and I wanted to, you know, first apologize and, you know, just kind of share what I was thinking and my the whole picture. It's funny when something's sort of taken out of context, how I used to always say, yeah, it's funny until it's written down on paper, right? And that's sort of how this was. It was sort of supposed to be funny, sort of a joke, sort of light, but it, you know, in the end, it didn't sound like one, and some people thought it was inappropriate. So, you know, let's clean it up, right? Let's, hey, I'm an idiot, and I'm going to apologize, so let's clear this up. The problem is, and it talks about this in the ninth step yesterday when I went to the meeting, is, you know, am I doing it rightly? Am I on the AA beam, so to speak, right? And what that means is, am I... I guess what it says is, am I willing to take any the response from the person might not be what it is that I'm looking for. And I guess what I would ideally be looking for is, hey, man, no problem. I appreciate you apologizing. We love you. We'll let this one pass. Ideally, that sounds good, but that's not how it always works out. And it talks, you know, about that in the ninth step. You know, not everybody might be as excited about hearing your apology as you are. And the thing is that's exactly what happened. You know, I wanted to apologize and just make sure everything was hunky-dory, and it wasn't. And so then all of a sudden, the victim guys started showing up. All of a sudden, I started becoming a victim, and I started reaching out to people who I could, who could be an audience to me being a victim. You know what happened? Get this, right? Can you believe this? Oh, my God, guess what happened? Kind of shit. And, oh, my God, what? And... you know, there's always a few people in our, a few audience members in our life that we can kind of turn to and get a little bit of some sympathy, but it wasn't really happening. And so then all of a sudden I started getting all victim-y, right? I started getting all pissed. You know, there were some things that happened. All of a sudden I'm like, these people should have, you know, should have stuck up for me, or, the, you know, They know who I am. I mean, we've been doing this for a while. How come nobody defended me, right? Those feelings came rolling through my mind. And then, then I all of a sudden I wanted to start attacking, right? And there was one person specifically, and I wrote this big text, and I'm looking at that arrow to send it, and I'm looking at it. And this happens a lot. You know, I'll write something, and I'm like, God, how's that going to read, right? I'm one of the people that if I get a text, hey, you know, I think especially appointments. Like, hey, I had you scheduled down for an appointment. Are you going to be coming in today? No. Oh, boy. Right? I'm off to the races with just a single word, no. You know, I'm filling in all the gaps. So, you know, I'll do that a lot of the times when I'm responding to something. I don't want to sound a certain way. So I'll write all this stuff and then I'll like, and then I'll just erase it all and then make it a simple answer and try to take all the confusion out. But I think that, you know, I was holding that arrow. I'm like, do I want to send this text? And then instead of just erasing it, I just exited out of texting. I just left it in the box. Like, maybe I'm going to send it at some point. You know, one of the best pieces of advice that was ever given to me was go on your second thought, right? Or, you know, wait at 24 hours before you make a big decision. Those two things, I think, were great advice. And at the same time, you know, for a guy like me, I started really thinking about that. Why? What happens in 24 hours? Why? What is my second thought? And the first thought for me is usually that self-centered thought, the one that, you know, there's been no filter. It's just going to go out. Fuck these people. I'm letting them have it. And that's usually my first thought. That's usually my first action. You know, someone does something, you throw a freaking soda at them. You know, I don't know, whatever it would be. But I remember those two things of advice. Go on your second thought and on big decisions. For one, talk to a sponsor. And for two, you know, wait 24 hours and see how you're going to feel about the whole thing. And I was like, oh, because I was really annoyed, really. I was really bothered by the whole situation. It hurt. You know, I hadn't felt that kind of sort of shame and guilt for a long time. So it really, it was very, very sensitive. And I was like, you know what? And so I didn't even erase the message. I left it in the text box and I just exited out of my messages. And I think I've later gone back and erased it. Because you know what? Honestly, in the end, this is nobody's fault but mine. Right? And this is accountability, right? This is taking responsibility. And so at the point where I'm like, you know, this is my own fault, right? I still don't really disagree with what I said. I just don't think I said it in a very intelligent way. I think I could have said it in a better way, but the reality is what I said is really what's going on. And so it's not like I said something while I was drunk and I regretted it. Please erase these words. It's not how I feel. I do think that there's a lot of things that are being recognized today with this woke movement. You know, part of me is sort of annoyed that I lived in a time, and I shouldn't say that either. Actually, I'm very happy. My life has been fantastic, but it's just when you look back at things and you're like, gosh, I can't believe, like, you know, we did do all these things and we were okay with it. But it, like I said, it is what it is. I love growing up the time I did. It's all good. But back to the point, you know, different layers of being sober and, you know, going on that second thought and just being grateful that I know these things, right? Or I've heard them, or I've, you know, I've been doing this long enough that they do start to work in your life, right? The second thought and 24 hours is such a great piece of advice. If you're upset, if you are, you know, when I am wallowing around in old feelings, I become very trigger happy, right? I become very, like, spontaneous bad ideas come flowing out of my brain. I become arrogant. You know, that's my buddy Matt used to say, guys like you and me are arrogant. And I remember laughing and being like, what the fuck's that mean? And he goes, when we run by a different set of rules, and those rules appear when the inconvenience shows up. And this thing happening the other day was a big inconvenience. It felt inconvenient, it sounded inconvenient, and it was inconvenient. And when that happens, arrogance shows up and a new set of rules I all of a sudden get to run by. And one of those rules is, do not restrain from pen and tongue, right? Do not restrain from pen and tongue and text. These are in the moment, you know. All of a sudden, yeah, fucking send a text, goddammit. Or, yeah, go around this car on the right side of the road. Or, yeah, I remember walking out of a grocery or a convenience store with the coffee because the line was too long. I said, fuck it, I'll be back. I'll pay for this later. And I did. I came back and paid for it. But I'm like, God, I can't believe you did that. Arrogance showed up. And it's all fucking fed by inconvenience. The more inconvenient, the more arrogance. And I was overwhelmed with arrogant thoughts. And it's just amazing how they just keep coming back. But this time, you know, I could fight them. You know, back off. You know, I'm not sending that text. I'm not making that phone call. I'm not, you know, when this all happened, my position was, I am sorry. I apologize. Thank you for all of your support. I apologize for the inconvenience. And these were all early on when this started really happening, when I was still beat down and humble. But over time, the inconvenience set in and the arrogance came back. And that's when I wanted to start writing some texts and really attacking these people. And I can't believe, you know, la-da-da-da-da-da. And I could hit the pause. I'm like, you know what? And so having said all that, you know, we're a couple days later. This is, what's today, Wednesday. And I sit here with a clean slate, an open heart, and zero regret. I do regret, you know, some of the things that I said in the way that I said them because I'm just an idiot, you know. If I was really super smart and I said those kind of things, it'd be one thing. But, you know, the point was, and I said this the other day, I'm just glad everybody's getting paid, man. You know, let's just find some happiness, you know, pay people for what they're worth. You know, when you pay people, it makes their lives better. And that's really what was my whole point is, you know, let's just try to make a happier civilization, a happier community. You know, let's try to just make people happy. But besides that, I'm just, you know, I'm so grateful I didn't send that text. You know, that text was, it was short and it was sweet and it was meant for me and nobody else. And that's exactly what happened. And because in the big picture, you know, we do some other podcasts that, you know, really do. And I think that was the other thing. You know, we've done almost 800 podcasts and never had a complaint. And I'm like, doesn't anybody know this? Right? We've never even had a complaint. But we do some other podcasts that really try to help small businesses and, you know, recovery and doing different things. So I don't want to, you know, get into a fight then in the end isn't really going to be worth it. And at the same time, doing damage to other things in my life, right? I still love doing podcasts. I don't want to, you know, create such a problem. It's a tough world out there and we all do have to protect ourselves. And I get that. So I sit here today with, luckily not full of, not with a plate of shame and guilt. And, I feel like I've come out of this with my, you know, making my amends and doing the things that I have to do, and I can hold my head up high, and I'm grateful for that. And, you know, last night we went to sort of a shift, but we went to a soft opening of a restaurant that's a local restaurant, and one of these people, a friend of mine, is like, you need to come. You're an influencer. I'm like, I am not an influencer. Well, you do podcasting and you have the ear of the public, and you know you do influence. If you, I guess that's what it falls under. And I am not an influencer. I do, but I was like, hell yeah, I'll go. If that's what it is, I want to go. If I can go to a soft opening of a new restaurant and try new food and hang out and give opinions and post pictures on my Instagram and do different stuff and try to at least share my experience, I'm in. I love it. And so we got to go last night. Unfortunately, my wife was sick. We got a cold running through our house right now. And so she wasn't feeling well, so I just took the boys with me. And we had a lot of fun. Met a lot of great people. And you know, I met some people like they listen to the podcast, which is a whole nother podcast to talk about that. But, you know, there's actually people out there listening to some of the other podcasts. And I thought it was really cool. And I actually ended up finding three different people, small business owners, to come and chat. And so it was just, you know, it's been a rough couple days. One thing I've learned is I'm very sensitive now. Right. I was sensitive before. I've always been sensitive. I've said that before. Tell me I did a great job, I want to be president of the company. Tell me I did a fucking bad job and I want to jump off a bridge. I'm very bipolar when some of that, when it comes to some of that shit. I'm very extreme, and it's just being sensitive. And so the last couple of days was a real, hopefully a real growing moment for me. You know, and I think it was. I mean, I feel that what I went through sitting here today, because listen, I've been in situations like this, and I have done the opposite. I've said things. I've made comments. I remember a while back, you know, my buddy and his, I was doing his wife's hair, and, you know, she kept showing up late. They were late people. I'm not going to say any names because they're good people and, you know, they have their world and our worlds just didn't really match up. But they're, you know, they're good folks. But they were not big people on time, right? And I'm very particular about time. I've said it before. Like, if you're late, you don't care about anybody else but yourself. Unless, obviously, a hole in the road opens and you cannot pass and you are forced to be late. But if you have an appointment and you can't be on time, if you can't even be early, you only think about yourself. That's just this weird thing that I feel. And I remember this person was late, and I should have just kept my mouth shut. But I didn't, and I vocalized my opinion. And for some reason, man, I have... Sometimes when you're pointing out things like that to people, they don't particularly like to hear it. And it can really hurt their feelings. And it really did hurt this person's feelings. I mean, there was tears. I felt like shit. I was an idiot. There was nothing I said that wasn't true. I just didn't really need to be the person to say it. And what I know really is that, you know, if there are people like that in my life, I just can't have them in my life. It was weird. That was a weird one because I really like those people. And, so, yeah, I could have refrained from pen and tongue that day and probably saved myself a lot of stress and anxiety and maybe even a friendship. But it is what it is. And so luckily today I sit here and pretty much free of all guilt and shame as far as like sending anything like I would regret as far as a text goes. Let me see how much time we have and then maybe we can do a daily reflection. What is the time, man? What's the time, man? Oh, shit. All right. Let me read a quick daily reflection, and then I'm off for another adventure. Let's see. Daily reflection. Do-do-do. Huh. I wonder if it's going to talk about... I don't know. Let's see what... I wonder what... I'm going to... Let's see. Ooh. Ooh. All right. I love it. September the 14th, peace of mind. Mm. And I think before I read this, I think that in the end is sobriety for me. Peace of fucking mind. You know, that moment when, you know, somebody complains and you feel like shit and you really are in it, right? You're really deep in that shame and feeling bad about it. You know, this program, thank you fucking AA, because this program has taught me the things that I need to do to clean house, clear it up, and in the end, have peace of mind. So, all right, September 14th, peace of mind. Do we lay the matters before our sponsor or spiritual advisor, earnestly asking God's help and guidance? Meanwhile, resolving to do the right thing when it comes clear, cost what it may. Do we do the matter before... I'm going to read it again. Sorry. Do we lay the matter before our sponsor or spiritual advisor, earnestly asking God's help and guidance? Meanwhile, resolving to do the right thing when it becomes clear, cost what it may. Yeah, that's it. That's my life today. You know, I had to pray about this. I had to use my prayer. Dear Lord, I'm turning this over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough. Just recognizing I'm an idiot. I am not God. I'm not the one that's going to fix this. You know, I have to turn it over. I have to recognize it. The biggest problem that I had with this thing is I didn't really have anybody to talk to. Like, I had to, I talked to my wife. I talked to a bunch of people. For some reason, they just didn't check off the list of the right person to talk to about it because I felt like I had to admit my fault to a human because I had made all these amends in my head, but I really, that's like the fifth step. It's that getting it all out to another human, to another person, and saying, listen, this is a mistake that I made, and trying not to follow it up with a bunch of justified reasons, right? It's just, this is what I did, and this is how I feel. I sort of was able to do that, but I didn't get to really do it officially. So that was my one thing. So I did pray about it, and I turned it over, and I was finally able to talk to somebody about it. But that's the gift today. You know, and I guess that's how the reason the whole podcast started was, you know, I think a lot of people come in here and the gift they want is just to put down the alcohol, and that is a fucking gift. But in the end, man, it's this. It's the peace of mind, and it talks about it in the fifth step, and it's the first time it starts talking about it. It's that sobriety and peace of mind. Sobriety and peace of mind, and this is, you know, today I have peace of mind. I don't have any regrets. I know how to do things better. I know what I'll do next time, and, you know. So that was 12 steps in the 12 traditions, page 86 and 87. It says, my belief in a higher power is an essential part of my work on step 9. Forgiveness, timing, and right motives are the other ingredients. Yeah, I think that's where they talk about being on the AA beam, right? Are my motivations correct? Forgiveness, timing, and right motives are the other ingredients. My willingness to do the step is a growing experience that opens the door for new and honest relationships with the people I have harmed. My responsible actions brings me closer to the spiritual principles of the program, love and service. Peace of mind, serenity, and a stronger faith are sure to follow. Yes, they are. They are sure to follow. Hey, well, that's my fuck up for the week. I hope everyone else is having a great day. And man, if you're here to quit drinking, welcome. That's awesome. But keep hanging in there. There's a lot of great things to come, and sometimes they look bad, but on the inside they're really great growing experiences. And I just went through one, and I feel super grateful to be sober. I'm super grateful to be in this program, and I hope everyone has a great day, and we will catch you later. Bye. Will somebody let me see the light within the dark tree shadowing? What's happening? Looking through the glass, find the wrong within the past, knowing we are the youth. Cut until it bleeds out of wood without the peace, face a bit of the truth.